led by the Spirit to lead us in that number. We've been looking this summer at some of the foundational truths of following Christ, what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the basis of this is how to live a happy Christian life, because there are many Christians that don't live happy Christian lives. They may live Christian lives, but there's no happiness to it. They've lost the joy, and they've lost some of the basics. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if anyone depends on my word and builds his life on my word, he will be on a solid foundation. And when the rains come and the floods and all those things that come against us, he will stand. And so we want to stand on the word of God. We want to stand on the truth of God's word. This morning our message is how to enjoy the Bible. How to enjoy, not just how to read the Bible, not just how to study the Bible, but how to enjoy the Bible. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to use it. It's a good, appropriate time to pull out a Bible from the pew. And if you don't have one, we have some Bibles we can give away, and we've purchased them for that purpose. If you'd like one of those Bibles, speak to me or to Pastor Paul, and we'll make sure that you get one. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at a New Testament passage and then to an Old Testament passage. Those of you that are nimble of fingers and minds can at the same time turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 in the Old Testament. But let's look first of all at the Word of God and what it has to say about enjoying the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is living and active. I want you to underline living and active. So often we look at the Bible as something that is a thing. It just sits on the shelf, sits on the coffee table. God says that's not so. The word that's within that Bible is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The Word of God is living and active. That means it is a catalyst. It is God's ingredient to be put into your life to bring about that new life. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to Joshua chapter 1. I love this passage. And when I first discovered it as a teenager, I underlined it, wrote it down, and memorized it, because it is filled with God's promises of the effect of His Word in our lives if we allow it to fill us. Joshua speaks these words, "Do not let this book of the law," that is the Bible, "do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." When? When you have hidden this word in your heart, when you read from it, and when you meditate on it day and night, then you will be prosperous and successful. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we acknowledge that you're present today in your house. Lord, we know that you came even before we did. You are ready to meet your people at any time, any place. And you are in all places at the same time. And so we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your word this morning. And we pray that the word would be living and powerful. It would be active in our lives. And I pray, Lord, for each one that's here today, no matter what their spiritual maturity level, no matter how long they've been a Christian and how disciplined they are in the Word, I pray that you would add something to their life today. That as they leave this place, they might be able to go away acknowledging that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray if there are things that we need to be convicted of, that you would convict us. If there are things that we need to forsake, that you would help us to forsake it. If there are things we need to do, Lord, help us to be faithful to do those things. In Jesus' name, amen. That Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 was a verse that my pastor put in my Bible when I graduated from high school. He put that in the Bible and said, Dick, always remember this. This book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book. I want to ask you a rhetorical question this morning. Rhetorical questions are not to be answered out loud. So don't answer out loud. But let me ask you this question and answer it in your heart. Have you spent time in God's Word every day this week? Have you spent time, sometime, I'm not designating how much time, but every day, have you opened the Word and let the Word of God be active and living in you? And I think it's appropriate to close in prayer and send you home. Because sometimes conviction is just asking a question. Jeremiah laments, so the Spirit of God empowering him, he laments as the heart of God laments, and God speaks through him and says, My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've carved out for themselves other cisterns that can hold no water. See, God grieves when we depart from His Word. He grieves when we don't allow His power to be active in our lives. When we neglect the Word of God, we are neglecting God. I never forget, and I repeat it over and over as I preach, that Derek Prince has a wonderful booklet about foundations for Christian living. And in that he says, you do not love Jesus Christ more than you love His Word. As you treat the Word of God, so you treat Jesus Christ. For it is His Word. It is His living power in us. It is the Word of God incarnate that came down from heaven to live His life on this earth and die and to be raised from the dead and live in heaven forevermore. But this Word that we have here is the incarnate Word of God that Jesus speaks yet today through His Word. We ignore it. We ignore Him. So we want to look at a couple things this morning. I want to make it practical. And I want you to be able to follow along. So look at me not as your preacher, not as somebody who's trying to make you feel bad. I want to be your coach. Because all that I'm going to share with you this morning, God has coached me in these areas. First of all, we want to look at what the Bible says about itself. I want to look at what the Bible says about itself. It's important to us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, God lays down a foundation about the Word of God, that this Word is not just pages and ink. This Word is breathed from God Himself, and it lives forever. His Word lives on. He speaks it, and it continues in its existence. And whenever you open the Word of God and you read it, it comes to life. It's like planting a seed in the ground. That seed might look dead, but if you plant it in the ground, put the earth over it and water it, pretty soon it comes out of the ground and you see that it was alive. Interesting, some researchers were doing archaeological digs and they went into some of the pyramids and they found seeds left over from thousands and thousands of years ago that were put into these tombs, and they took those seeds, or took one or two of those seeds, and they planted them. And guess what happened? They germinated. They just sat there without power, without life, without effect until somebody put them in the ground. God says, when you take this Word and open it and allow your eyes to see it and your mind to hear it, it is alive and it is active in you. You see, that's how we grow as Christians. God wants us to take the Word of God and ingest it. It's like spiritual food. As a matter of fact, Peter says that. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babies, you should crave the Word of God that you may grow thereby. So the Bible says about itself that it is alive. Let me list a few other things that the Bible says about itself. David says, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is, we're walking in darkness. Jesus told us that. And the Word of God is a light to our path. We don't know how to live. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We can't make right decisions while we're in the dark. But His Word gives us light, gives us understanding. It shows us the way that we should go. He says also, His Word warns us. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to point out something to you from Psalm 19.
I love this passage because it talks about the law of the Lord or the word of the Lord. When you read the law of the Lord, just understand it to mean the word of the Lord, Old Testament or New Testament. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord or the word of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them is great," what? Reward. God is giving to us a rich treasury of His Word. He says, by it your servant is warned. Your servant is coached by the Lord. And God wants you to understand that. I remember when I used to play football, that the coach had some rules. Now, these rules you could break and still play football. I mean, it wasn't that you couldn't actually throw a football if you broke these rules. But he said there were certain disciplines that you had to follow if you wanted to be on His team. And so He warned us. And He gave us some coaching. And He said, "I am warning you. You are to go to bed early. You are not to smoke. You are not to drink. You are not to chew. And you're not to go out with girls that do. But you're not to do all of these things because they will be detrimental to your life. And they will not make you healthy." And then He added a few other rules. He said, "Before practice, I don't ever want to see any one of you drinking a pop soda, if you're from the East. Pop if you're from Michigan." He said, "I don't want you eating that, drinking that fizzy stuff. That is not good for you. When you go out to play, it's adding sugar, it's adding fizz and a bunch of other things. Sugar's not bad for you before you play, but this pop stuff is, because you get the caffeine into you." And so He forbid us to have pop. And I remember coming home from school, going from school to, we had to walk a mile to the stadium to play. And a friend of mine said, "I'm thirsty, it's hot out, let's get something to drink." So we stopped in the store and he said, "I'm going to have a Coke." And so instead of buying a little Coke, he bought the big RC Cola. Remember those? Great big bottle of Cola. So we shared it on the way to the field. And we were drinking, he got that thing about 3/4 of the way down, and pretty soon a car whizzed by and slammed on his brakes. And then he came speeding backwards. And it was our coach. Now, this wasn't a normal coach. This was a very abnormal coach. He was a Bobby Knight. He went berserk. He looked at us and he said, "LaFountaine and Bollinger, you'll see me after practice." And he took off. We turned white and we took the RC Cola and poured it out, because we knew, better not drink anymore because he's going to kill us. Well, sure enough, we got to practice. We practiced and did everything that we were supposed to do, and man, it was great. Come to the end of practice, we thought, surely he's forgotten about it. And he dismissed everybody to go home. And then he said, "LaFountaine and Bollinger, up front, right now." He said, "You two guys didn't take my warnings. I'm going to show you why I gave you those warnings. Get onto the track and run until I say you can stop." And so he put us on that quarter mile track, and we just ran and ran and ran and ran until we heaved our guts out. Then we came up and he said, "Okay, come here, come here. Do I have to tell you again? No Coke before practice. The Word of God is our coach. It's God giving us His structure for our safety and our blessing. By it your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great success. The Word of God also washes me." Jesus talked about that. He talked about husbands loving your wives, but in that context He's talking about the church, and He said that He might cleanse it and purify the church by the washing of water by the Word. You see, you don't get clean just by confession. That's part of it. But the other part is you get clean because you read the Word and realize what you did wrong. And then you can confess your sins and ask His forgiveness. But the Word is what begins that washing process. We've been at Mahaffey Camp all week. Mahaffey Camp isn't known for its amenities. Except some people that have cottages and have running water and toilets. But many of the people that are there are camping out. And we don't have great shower facilities. I think it's a 2-hour period during the day. You can take a shower if you want to pay for it. Otherwise, you can go under a spigot. But I tell you, I was so glad this year that we stayed with Marilyn's parents in Punxsutawney. We drove the 15 miles every night, and I got home so hot and sweaty the first night. I said, Marilyn, I can smell myself. I'm so bad. I got in that shower and just clean. Wow, feels so good. God says the Word of God is like that. Every day you ought to shower with the Word. I had to laugh this week because my father-in-law said something about when I take my Saturday shower. And I laughed because I remembered growing up that we didn't have a lot of bathroom facilities. We had one bathtub and seven people that had to use the whole thing. And I don't ever remember taking a shower, but Saturday night was bath night. How many of you remember that? How many of you? Never mind. I was going to say, how many of you took a bath last night? Some of the, we wouldn't think of going out without a bath. We need that cleansing. And so as we approach the Word, we need to recognize we need to be washed by the Word daily, not just once a week. Once a week and you will reek. And so let it be that the Word of God cleanses us daily. Then he says, it makes me successful. You want success? Success is not about money and about fame and about all the things that you can get in this life. Success is doing what God wants you to do and having His smile on your life. You want to live an anointed life, a life that has the blessing of God on you. Then you need to have the Word of God in your heart and in your mind daily. And the Word of God also says, it leads me and directs me. Not only does God give me light for my pathway, but by the Word of God, He leads me. Every step of the way, He guides me. I've told you before, and I'll share it again. One specific guidance in my life came when I was in a crisis. It was about in my 11th grade year. I'd rededicated my life to the Lord, and I sensed His call to missions. And I just was confused, and I didn't know. And I know it's very dangerous just to take your Bible and open it anywhere and say, God, speak to me. And somebody refers to that and says that one guy did that one day and he said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I'm troubled, so I'm going to ask you for leading. Guide me. And he opened the Bible and it said, and Judas went out and hung himself. He looked at that and said, well, that doesn't do much for me. Closed the Bible and said, okay, Lord, lead me again. Pulled up the next passage and it said, go and do thou likewise. Can't always be led by that, but I was a desperate, stupid young person. And I said, Lord, you said if we ask for wisdom, you will not rebuke us. So I'm asking you to confirm the call of God on my life because I am absolutely desperate. Open your word to me and speak to me so I might know the way that I should take. And after kneeling down at my bed and praying for a long time, I opened the word of God and said, oh, Lord, speak. And the passage he had used at 9 years of age was there in front of me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As a junior in high school, I started to cry. I said, thank you, Jesus. I know that's a stupid thing to do, but I know that you guided me by your word. God's word brings us success as we obey it and allow it to lead us. Finally, God's word grounds us. In Psalm 1, he says, the man that fears the Lord will be grounded like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its time. He says, if you are a man of God, you will take God's word and meditate on it every day. And that will ground you in the word. God's word has a lot to say about itself. We don't have time this morning to go through everything God says. But know this, this Bible and whatever Bible you have in your hand contains the Word of God, and as you open it and read it, that Word comes to life in you. It is there to give you life. Without it, you're just a moaning mummy. Death warmed over, wrapped up and ready to go, but you have no life in you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, as the Word says. The second thing we want to look at this morning is how to read the Bible for all it's worth. You know, many people don't know how to read the Bible. They are not quite sure where to begin, and they begin with Genesis chapter 1. They get on into Exodus and then Leviticus, and somewhere in Leviticus we lose it because Leviticus is not very interesting. Matter of fact, Leviticus is pretty boring. Then you get into the book of Numbers. You know why I call it Numbers? Well, read it and you'll find out. They're numbering the people. And who cares about who begat who and whom? So you start at the beginning of the Word of God. You're going to get bogged down about the third or fourth book. So it's not always the best way to read the Bible. I want to coach you in how to read the Bible. A good way to get something out of your Bible every day is as you read the Scripture, wherever you begin, begin reading it with something in mind. Jesus referred to the scribes as those that reach into the treasure chest and pull out things old and new. As you open the Word of God, don't open it and just say, Lord, I don't know where to go, know what to do. Go as a prospector, panning for gold. I'm going to give you this little hint here, an acronym, PEPSI. That stuck with me many years. We started it in Brazil, and of course we had to do it in Portuguese then. And I came back to the States, started preaching. I thought, oh no, it's not going to work in English. Surely it doesn't, but with a little finesse, it works. You look for five things in the Word of God as you read. You're not going to find all five, just as you don't find gold every time you pan. But you're going to find one or two of these in every passage. First of all, you look for a promise to claim. God's Word is filled with promises. Over 5,000 promises in the Word of God. And Peter says these are important and precious promises that are given to you and me that we might grow and that we might be more like Jesus. So you look for a promise of God. And don't just look for it, but when you find it, rejoice. Ah, Lord, I found a promise. This is great. This is for me. When I'm going through the Word and I find a promise, I usually write it down. Either in my journal or on a 3x5 card or some other place. And I try to carry that with me through the day so I'm reminded of it and I meditate on it and think about it. The second thing you look for is an example to follow. An example to follow. You flip the Bible open and it says, Judas went out and hung himself. Well, that's not an example to follow. So we have to say, look for an example to follow or one not to follow. And you got it. So there are lots of examples of people in the Bible. Those stories are not there just to entertain children, but to give us examples to follow that we will not do the same things they did or that we will do those things. The second P is look for something to pray about. As God is speaking to you in His Word, He's going to touch your life and He's going to say, there's an area there that needs some correction. And as you read it, ask God, Lord, show me something in my life that needs to be corrected. Show me how to improve. Show me what I need to do. And then you can pray about that in your prayer time. This fourth one is S. Look for a sin to avoid. Look for a sin to avoid. Anybody know how many sins there are? How many sins are there that are possible? 5,000 promises, 5 billion sins. So as you're opening the Word and looking for a sin, pretty good chance you're going to find something. Ask God to convict your heart about sin. And lastly, I stands for instruction. Ask God to give you instruction. Look for an instruction to follow, a command to keep, something that God is saying you should do. These things will always guide you in the reading of the Word. As I go through the Word of God, my PEPSI acronym is right there beside me. I walk through and I look for those things. I'm panning for gold and I find those things because I'm looking for them. If you're just going to read the Word out of some liturgy or some habit or discipline without thought of getting anything out of it, you're going to become like the Pharisees. The Pharisees did things and they didn't know why. They did it because Mom always said to do it. And you need to do it because you want to get something from God's Word. You want to get the precious treasure that He has for you. Okay. Move the slide forward. And I want you to read the slide. I just don't want you to look at this one. Now I want to give you a quiz. P-E-P-S-I. Let's see if you can do it. P stands for promise. E stands for example. P stands for pray. S stands for sin. I stands for instruction. Good, you got it. It's going to change your life. As a matter of fact, we taught that in Brazil. And then we went back to visit Brazil and saw some of the young people we first began to teach that to. They were now adults. And I approached one of them and we were talking about the Bible and the Bible studies we had. And I said, I asked some questions and they said, you know, Pastor, I still remember the teaching about how to study the Word of God. P-E-P-S-I, Pepsi. And then they gave it to me, and they remembered it. And I hope you can remember that all the days of your life, because it will help you. There's another thing. Back the slide up, if you would. P-E-P-S-I. I want to give you one more thing that's not on the slide. This means you have to remember it. If you have the half sheets that we passed out, those are notes, and it's on there. I want you to look for a W-T. What's a W-T? A W-T stands for a wonderful thing. One of my college roommates belonged to a youth group in his high school days. Actually was saved as belonging to that group, came to Christ. And he said they had a wonderful tradition. Each one of them challenged each other to have devotions every day. And when they got to school, the first question they asked each other, and I'll turn to the young people because you're the ones that need to be challenged to do this. You see each other at school, maybe. So when you find somebody from your church at school, you ask them, what's your WT for the day? And he said all over the school, all the Christians were doing that, walking up to each other saying, what's your W2 for the day? What's your WT for the day? And other people said, what in the world is a WT? It's a wonderful thing that I got from God this morning. And you use the Pepsi acronym and you go through and you pull out some treasure. God's got that treasure not just for a moment, but to carry with you all day long. And as you challenge one another about your WT, you get to share it with somebody else. You get to tell somebody what wonderful thing that you have. I would encourage you to do that and then put it on a 3x5 card or put it somewhere in your day timer. Keep it close to your heart. Remember last week? We talked about the 9-minute devotional plan. 3 sets of 3, use your 3-minute timer. The first 3 was ponder the Word of God. As you think about reading the Word of God, one thing you need to think about is you don't have to read all day. I'm challenging you to take the 3-minute timer and read for 3 minutes. Most of us can read a page of the Bible in 3 minutes. Now, if you can't, as I said last week, I suggest you get a Gideon New Testament. And you can read that baby in about 20 seconds. But read. Don't give it up. Don't foul it up and say, well, I don't have an hour to read, and therefore you don't. Even if all you have time for is one verse, read it every day. As a matter of fact, it was a command for the kings in Israel. God said, I'm going to give you a king over you, and when I do that, here's my instruction for the king. In Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 19, God gives the instruction for a king, and Peter says, we are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. We are kings too, and so it applies to us. He says, I want him to write out a scroll of the Word of God, and I want him to keep it with him at all times, and I want him to read from it every day. 3 things God said he wanted a king to do. 1 is he wanted him to write out the Word of God by hand. And then he wanted him to keep it with him wherever he went. And the 3rd thing, read from it every day. And I thought about that. I said, why didn't he have the Levites write it out for him or the scribes? No, God said, I want you to write it out. Because in so doing, you're reiterating it. You're memorizing it. You're digesting it into your life. It's good advice that comes from the Lord. George Mueller says this about his own devotional life and that 3-minute pondering the Word of God. He said, the first thing I do after having asked a few words of the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word is to begin to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get a blessing out of it. That's good advice. The last thing I want to cover with you is how to get started. How to get started. I'd love to take a survey this morning of how many of you every day read from the Word of God devotionally. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to embarrass those that don't. But it's a discipline that ought to exist in every Christian's life. And you know how Christians live our lives? We live our lives like this, up and down, up and down, up and down. Hopefully it's up, down, farther up, down, farther up yet, and down. But we go up and down. That's normal. That's not abnormal. We have great times of blessing and great times of difficulty and struggle. That's normal. But I want to coach you this morning to begin having a regular devotional time with God. That means you need to have a time and a place where you do this. And it needs to be private so nobody interrupts you. Somebody said to me, well, I do it in my car. Well, I don't have any argument against that. I've been driving my car a long distance this week, back and forth to Mahaffey, 2 hours. And as I do that, I pray, I sing, I worship the Lord. It's a good place to do it. I wouldn't recommend reading the Word of God while you're doing it. But it's a good place to begin that process of prayer. But for your reading of the Bible, you need a corner, a place where you can just get alone with God and read a portion of Scripture. I've given it for you in the handout this morning. If you didn't get one, there should be more left over in the foyer. I've given you a 40 days of devotions. What I've done is I've gone through the Word of God and I've picked one chapter. And usually these are not long chapters, but one significant chapter that you can read every day. Because what we want to do as Christians is establish new patterns and new habits. These are called disciplines. And to establish any habit or discipline is going to take you about 40 days. That is, about 6 weeks. And so I challenge you to begin the process. Wherever you are spiritually, even if you've done this hit and miss for 100 years, start again and say, Lord, teach me the discipline every day. And I've given you this guide of great psalms. Great psalms that you can go through as you read the Word of God. They are wonderful things to read. And I've suggested 10 of them that are wonderful and great psalms to meditate on. Then I've given you great stories. Not all of them. I went through one day and tried to catalog all the stories of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, and I came up with so many we'd never be able to finish without reading the whole Bible. But there are great stories. Then great truths from the New Testament, a chapter each. And then great comfort that comes from Isaiah. All of these are very interesting passages and easy to read and would take you only a few minutes. So I encourage you, begin this pattern. If you don't have the pattern already in your life, take this and say, Lord, for the next 40 days, I want to do this. I want to establish a new habit or a new discipline in my life and help me do it. And when you get finished with that, you will have the pattern of every day opening the Word of God. I want to suggest also that in doing so, you have a Bible that's your own, and it should be well marked. I have several Bibles, but my devotional Bible is one particular Bible. Marilyn knows where it's at. It's always hanging around my devotional closet, which happens to be my dining room table. That is, it happens to be there until Marilyn wakes up. Then it's no longer a quiet closet. And the Lord said, if that's the case, you find another closet. But as you get alone with God, you need to have your own Bible and keep it well marked. Second thing I advise you to do is have 3x5 cards or a notebook or something to write down what God says to you. Because we're notorious for forgetting things. Write them down and carry with you. I have done that for a number of years, and a while back I asked Marilyn to put those on little business type cards for me so they're easier to carry than 3x5 cards. And I carry these wherever I go. I keep them in my truck, and when I go to visit the hospital, I carry them with me. I pray over them and ask the Lord to give me a scripture for the person I'm going to visit, and He does, and I leave it behind. These are wonderful things. You don't need to print it out, and you don't need to get fancy, but write it out like God said a king should do. Write out what God spoke to you that day. Write out that verse and keep it with you. Last of all, let me encourage you, if you don't have time and you figure you can't do 3 minutes a day, then at least ask God to give you one verse every day. One verse. If you go to our website, we have a whole page of promises, 100 promises. That'll take you through 40 days as well. More than that, double your discipline. But take one verse and meditate on it each day. God will add to your life the discipline of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active. And as you bring it into your life, it's like vitamins. 1 or 2 days is not going to make a difference. But daily, daily, consistently, over a long period of time, you're going to see such transformation and change in your life. You will thank God that you found the secret of growing as a Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at Your Word, we know there's much that we need to know. More than we can ever cover in a little sermon. A little instructional time. But I pray this morning, especially for those, Lord, that are floundering and don't have that devotional time, are not consistent about reading the Word, that You would add that to their lives. Lord, we pray for their blessing. Oh, Lord, we're not here to condemn anyone, but we want to bless. And I pray Your blessing to be on each one that takes the challenge of reading daily from Your Word. And Lord, that You would reveal Yourself and reveal Your power in their lives. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me as we close. And we're going to close with that song that we sang a week ago. And hopefully you know it. If you don't, you'll catch on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Just before I close, if you this morning are sensing that you need a better discipline in your prayer life, and you would be willing just to slip up your hand with a crowd of other people, and no one looking around, but just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling with my devotional life." Would you do that? But would you be bold enough to join a crowd of people and hold it up there for a moment so I can see, and that you can testify to God that you want to change your spiritual habits? Lord, you see all of our hands. We put them down now. And we say, "Lord, here I am, struggling and failing, trying and picking up and doing it again. And I pray that you would teach us like we learned to ride the bike, that we get up and fall down and get up and fall down and keep doing it. Because we know in the end we'll learn. And we'll get experience. And we'll get steadfast. And we'll get blessed. I pray your blessing on each one, that they might be diligent to open the Word. I pray that you would meet them every day in that special closet of prayer, and that their lives would be so blessed and transformed that it will overflow and everyone will see. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Go and the Lord be with you and be a blessing somewhere in your life.